Ascension Process with Dr. Suzanne Lee.
Hello, Tony V.
Hello.
We're very happy to have you on our show today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's really brilliant to be with you and share some time and some wonderful information.
I would like you to take a moment now, kind of introduce yourself to everybody.
Yes, so I'm Tony V, sometimes known as Anthony John, and obviously I'm a Londoner. You can tell from my London accent, no doubt. I'm currently living in Birmingham in the heart of England, and soon to be moving to more the spiritual heart of the UK, to Glastonbury, which you may well have heard of.
Absolutely. Yes.
So, yeah, my background is that it took me 47 years of life before I sort of what you might call woke up slightly. And that happened about 10 years ago. And in that time, I've been on quite a journey, which no doubt is going to last for the rest of my life. So,
well, can you share a little bit about your waking up process? Because I know people really like to hear that, because people kind of don't know what's going on. They think maybe they're going crazy or whatever it is. So
Yeah, and, you know, it's not such a bad thing. It's just, I think, noticing it when it happens. And for me, it happened in the most odd way, really, because I'd spent, 47 years, as I say, on the planet, living in South London, absolutely came from a family with... You know, my dad was a postman, and my mum, you know, was a stay-at-home mum. I have three brothers and sisters, so there were four of us all together. And we're a very traditional British family living in London there. And I guess that I just followed what I saw. You know, I'm absolutely became a product of what I saw going on around me. And eventually, at the age of 20, took over my father's business. So I was very entrepreneurial, very young, and made loads of money. I was very, very successful at what I did and spent really, you know, 27 years doing the same thing day in, day out, and just putting more money in the bank and more money in the bank and, you know, buying all these things that, you know, you think are going to make you happy, nice houses, cars, great holidays, all those things that people strive for. Thing missing.
Then what happened?
And
basically,
what happened is this lady came into my shop. So sometimes it can be a person. And this lady, who does this once a year, she gets someone and she finds like a project. And I was her project for the year. And she saw something special in me. And I don't know what she saw. I never really asked her. And she kept saying to me, "You need to read this book. Need to read this book." And every time she came in, she said, "Have you bought the book?" And I said, no, I haven't. I don't really read. I don't have time. You know, I'm a busy businessman and what have you. Anyway, then one day she comes in and she bought me the book. And I tried to pay her and she said, no, it's my gift to you. And anyway, it was a book from a personal development person, not so much a spiritual person, by the name of Anthony Robbins from San Diego in California, funnily enough.
And we all know about him here in California.
You know about him, yeah, right. So he was my first port of call. And, you know, I put that book on the side, and I never read it. And every week she used to come in and say, "Have you read the book?" And I go, "No, I haven't had time," you know. And then one day I remember having a bit of a time off, and I, you know, went in the bath and I took the book. And I had a bit of a breakthrough moment at that time. It was almost like everything I'd been taught or learned was the opposite to what this book was saying, and it grabbed my attention. And I remember her coming in and saying, "Well, do you want to go to a seminar?" And I ended up at a Tony Robbins seminar where I had my really first big awakening moment. So it's a bit of an odd thing to have, but it was much more of a spiritual awakening, as I would call it, than a more, you know, Tony Robbins is all about success,
right.
success. Whereas for me, I had this spiritual realization and, you know, was on a journey ever since. I just spent a couple of years doing Tony Robbins stuff, but found many, many mentors and eventually found, of course, your great self, Susan, and I've been, you know, studying your stuff for years now, and absolutely love it. So it was really a moment that was gifted to me by somebody else, and what it was like was it was like a meditation. Tony Robbins did a sort of what you might call a meditation, and suddenly something changed in me. It was like I suddenly saw things from a new perspective completely. And I never went back. I actually changed my whole life. I sold my house, gave my business to my sons. They still got my business. They run my old life. And which has led me to where I am today.
Well, that's interesting. You were ripe for the picking, weren't you?
Yes.
Because Anthony Robbins is like a motivating, you know, go out there and make more money and be your best self.
He's very raw.
In the moment of that, you picked out something spiritual. Can you tell me, Bill, a little bit about how that happened?
Yeah, it was like a moment where I became at one with the universe. I remember them turning the lights out. And as I say, it was a bit of a meditation, really. He calls it a closed eye process, which is a sort of NLP terminology if you're in the personal development world. And basically, you know, I went inside myself, something I'd never really done before. I was a very external sourced person. You know, if I saw a house, it's a house. You know, if I saw a car, it's a car. But suddenly, for some reason, when I went inside myself, there was like I connected with the stars, and I often do what some people describe as astral traveling, where I just lay there and it's like I'm on a flight through the universe, going past all the stars. And that was my first experience, and it was like just a complete opening. And then when I looked at the house and the car, it seemed to have a completely different meaning. In fact, it had lost its meaning, where I was very what I would call significance driven. It was one of the, you know, my needs was to feel significant. Suddenly that significance dropped away, and my having a big car, you know, I used to drive the same car as the Queen has. It was a beautiful Daimler car. And, you know, something like lost its luster to me. I didn't need it anymore. So I just got rid of it. And I started to just, as I looked at things, everything looked different. People in particular, I remember once getting in the London Tube network, you know, the trains that go under the ground, the underground system. And I stood at the end of the train and I looked at all the people and I had this massive realization that I was in massive judgment of all these people. I was like, my mind was pigeonholing them all, you know, this person's this color, this person's wearing those clothes, this person's got this hair, you know, it was amazing to just catch myself. And then I suddenly saw that all these people were identical. And they all had the same amount of love in them as I did. And it was like an amazing connection. But it was, the original thing was definitely that moment when I had my eyes closed and I was just suddenly had this experience of an expanded self and that I was part of something much bigger, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And you were just so ready. That all it took was a meditation and bang, there you were.
Yes.
So what is it? Do you want to share a little bit about what you're doing now, your City of Light?
Yeah, so I went on this journey with my amazing wife, Nikki, and we ended up opening a retreat in Austria. And that came to a sort of bit of an end 2 years ago. And I found myself that what I did in 2004, I created a vision for my life going forward. And I wrote it down, it was 70 pages long, and I videoed it in a television studio, and an audience of about 40 people came along. And it was a vision of all of the things that I then saw that would help people have a different experience in life, and it was going to be in the centre in London. And anyway, I worked away at it, and ended up, met Nikki, we got married, and we ended up with like a miniature version in Austria, and it was unbelievably successful. Many people came. We shared our gifts, you know, which were to teach people to love. That's what I always said we did if somebody asked. And when that came to an end, I was delivering a seminar, which we do, which I love doing, which is, you know, helping people find their vision and purpose in life. So many people seem to have lost their way. One of my other favorite Americans is a guy called Patch Adams. I don't know if you've ever come across Patch, but amazing soul who had a Hollywood movie made about his life, and Robin Williams played the part of Patch Adams. And it's a great story about a guy who basically, you know, committed himself into an asylum. And in that asylum had a massive realization and then ended up becoming a medical doctor. And recently I had the benefit of meeting him, you know, firsthand. And his story is such a powerful story. And he, in many ways, helped me have my vision, because he had this vision of setting up this hospital in America where your whole health system is very different to the UK, where, you know, we get it, technically speaking, free. You know, you can, anything can happen and they're going to take you into the hospital and you don't have to pay. And in America, obviously, don't quite have that same system. And he had this vision of building this hospital where people could come for free. He calls it the Gesundheit Institute. And from, you know, I used to share this film with everybody that used to come to Austria. We used to watch it. I know nearly every word of the film. And it's really, really an amazing story. And I think he was part of me creating my vision as it is today, which was to create what I now call the City of Light. And I believe that when I was sharing a vision and purpose, I realized that I'd sort of got off of my old purpose slightly, and I needed to rewrite it. So I rewrote it, and it's now, I think, about a 50-page document of what I would love to create is what I've called the City of Light, which came to me through some meditation, some I did with you, which is awesome, and some I did with some other people, some attunements, some Reiki attunements. And this vision sort of came to me, and it's almost like an updated version of my 2004 model, but with everything that I've learned in between, sort of inside it. So that's sort of what it's really about, creating a city where, instead of living in the 3D world as we do, to create a more 5D world where we all live in an expanded consciousness, at one with, you know, the flora and fauna, as I call it, and with each other in a state of love. That's really it in a nutshell.
Well, that's quite a project, and a wonderful one, and a vanguard one that we're going to be seeing popping up all over. So you're going to be the role model for many, I'm sure. I'm sure you'll be successful, because you're successful at everything you do. So there are certain patterns in life that we can rely on, you know.
Yeah.
And once you get your teeth into something, you make it work. So
yes,
that's fantastic. So what? Where are you with that process now? You said that it's going to be in Glastonbury. You want to tell people a little bit about what Glastonbury is? I mean,
yes. I mean, basically, the vision sort of came to me earlier in the year, so only May or June time. And then I remember going on a holiday in Cyprus, which is a very hot Mediterranean island here, and not feeling so good, actually. And I really worked on myself. Whenever I'm not feeling good, I always go to, you know, my personal development or spiritual development. And I was reading some different stuff from different people. Some of it was your great stuff, some of the Arcturian stuff, which I absolutely love. And the Arcturians helped me massively in that time when I was a bit not doing so well. And I did the whole process that's in your Arcturian work of downloading your multidimensional self. And it was an awesome experience. And it led me to the point where I said, you know what, I want to stop doing everything else and I want to put all of my efforts into the City of Light. And so that was a bit of a shock to Nikki, because we've always, you know, we have been known as Tony and Nikki, relationship teachers, whatever you would like to call us. And I'm saying, look, I want to stop doing that and I want to put my life to this. And it was in that moment where, again, it's a moment of decision that moved me massively forward, and I got so connected to it. And Glastonbury was the place that popped up on my sort of screen, so to speak. And so we went to Glastonbury. We've been several times. In fact, we just come back from the weekend. And it's a very beautiful area in the west of England, in a county which is known as Somerset. And the old English meaning of Somerset is that it's like a floodplain area. And there's some higher ground there where in the downtime it floods, and the people used to move to the higher ground, and that's what Glastonbury is really known for. It has a hill there called the Glastonbury Tor, Tor meaning hill in Old English, and people used to go and move and live on the side of the hills when the flood was, you know, around them, and they grew crops and stuff and survived there. So it's sort of very ancient time, an ancient place. It's known as Avalon, the area, which is a beautiful word. And Glastonbury as a town is quite small and quaint in English terms, and it has only one major high street chain there. So where you go to any high street in England or shopping mall, it's just full of all the big names everybody knows. Glastonbury doesn't have any of that. They're very individualistic, small businesses, many therapies, hundreds of therapists live there. So it's like a centre of where people go. It's very famous, of course, for the Glastonbury Music Festival, where 150,000 people go and, you know, do things like smoking drugs and listen to rock music, which, you know, perhaps is a bit less spiritual, but they luckily do that down the road. It's about 7 miles away from the main centre, but it has many festivals in the sort of what you might call the more spiritual world. So to go and immerse ourselves into this energy is really beautiful. So we've been looking for a property there to create the beginnings. The City of Light ultimately is a community of people, of like-minded people that want to give of themselves to live in this place of love, to share with each other and share spiritual and ethical values, I always go, and also to be an eco-community. So how can we live, you know, with Mother Earth, so we're not raping and pillaging her anymore, but we're giving back and loving and nurturing her. And so I'm sure that some land, in fact a beautiful piece of land came up that we went to see the other day, and I'm going, okay, we could love, it just was beautiful. It was in the area where the tour is, the hill there, and it was just beautiful. So we're in the sort of stage of manifesting, and several people have already joined the group, and we're beginning to look at how, the more how stuff that we can manifest the right place for us to start our journey down there.
Well, you know, Glastonbury, Avalon, was one of the last places where there used to be, after the fall of Atlantis, there used to be in England, especially in West England, there were islands there which have sunken since then. And that area is where a lot of the Atlanteans went, and it was very fourth dimensional for a long time. And, you know, like the Mists of Avalon.
Yes.
And so that energy is just, it's like fairyland. It's like,
yes,
you're in fairy. And that's one of the last places where the, you know, the fourth and the fifth, the land of fairy and the land of humans, interacted for quite a while. And then, of course, eventually Earth felt such a low vibration that that disconnection was there. But I think that it's a major portal at all times. So you found the perfect place.
Yes, definitely some lovely work done on the synchronistic lines, which is a different piece. And many people talk about the ley lines, but there are some synchronistic lines where there are nine that run vertically down the earth and encase it like, you know, when you buy a garlic in a string bag, the garlic bag. There's like a garlic bag of lines which go out into the universe and bring energy down through the earth and encase it, so to speak. And there are nine more lines that actually surround the earth horizontally. So they create this network, and they're not particularly straight. They duck and weave all over the place. And many of the lines actually cross over, and it said, if you look up the synchronistic lines, it said that where the lines cross are the real energy portals. And of course, interestingly, in that part of England, in fact, it's the only place where two of the lines cross. And so there are many signs that this place is of a very special energy, and I guess that's why we're drawn there.
Sounds wonderful. And so you say that some people are joining, and can you tell a little bit about yourself now, about how people can get in touch with you, and if they're interested in your vision, how they can join with you, if you can give us that information right now.
Yeah, sure. Well, basically, you know, we're very blessed, aren't we, to live in the world of modern technology where we can, you know, do interviews across the halfway across the planet. So, of course, one of the first places that, you know, I started, and thanks to my son, because somebody said to me, oh, you need a website for that. And I'm going, oh, not another website. You know, I've done lots with websites. But actually, my son, who I was disconnected from for a few years, actually said, look, Dad, why don't you, I'll do the website with you. And we had such fun creating the City of Light website. So everybody's welcome to go and have a look at that. Which is www, of course, cityoflight.co.uk. And in designing...
I didn't get that. I'm sure some of them didn't. Cityoflight.co.uk.
So it's .co. .uk.
.uk for us.
It's the sort of
American
UK equivalent of the .com.
We have the .com, so okay,
yeah.
So it's .co and then .uk.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Great.
And
okay.
And what we did is we put this sort of page in front of the website, so it's just got a few words and it's got a less than a minute video on it. And really, the people that get past that, I always go, I put it there deliberately so that the people that felt drawn to go beyond it would, and the others would not. And mm-hmm. It's interesting. It said, you know, and again, it's there's lots of different work you can refer to, but David Hawkins' work, which I love, Power versus Force, sort of argues that there are about 4-5% of the population of the planet that are more awake right now. And it's interesting, about 6.5% of the people that go to the City of Light website actually click through and join in. So I know I have very enthused people that join, and the other 90% actually go, I don't know what that's all about. They're like I was in the old days. You know, they were just not awake, really. So it's got this sort of barrier. So if you are interested when you go there, you have to, like, press a button, put your email address in, and then you sort of are a member of the site, and it shows that you're, you know, really interested in what it's all about. And, yeah, then you've got the vision there. So I always encourage everyone to sit and read it. You can, the PDF is there. It's less than an hour's read. Well, my amazing wife actually read it all, and it's there on MP3s. So if you're more of an audio person, then you can listen to my wife reading it, and lots of people do that. So I encourage people to read that, and when they do, it's, you know, again, it either connects with you or it doesn't. And the people that are really drawn to it say, you know, I'd love to be part of a community like this. And so I would say that's the first port to call. Of course, there's lots of buttons on there which give information of how you can help. So, for example, you may not, especially if you're, you know, listening to this in America, you may think, oh, I'm not going to drop anything and go and live in Glastonbury. But actually, I love the idea and I really want to support the idea. But I also like to grow some more spiritually. So, you know, we've offered, you know, various sort of forms of growth there, education. You know, I love education, education, education. So it's all about education and experiencing, you know, the more expanding of yourself so that, you know, you're always in a position where you're learning more and expanding more, I think is a great thing. And so we offer that. We offer trips. There is, interestingly, when I first created the cityoflight.co.uk, I came across a community that's in Italy by the name of Damanhur. And there's you'll see the links. I've put the links. I call it the City of Light Italy because Damanhur is the ancient Egyptian word for City of Light. So I thought there was some interesting synergy there. And I quickly, along with Nikki, we went and we visited Damanhur, and they're very keen to support us in the UK. But they've set up the most beautiful community there, of about 800 people living in 40 different houses, and they've created some beautiful temples there. And at the heart of the City of Light project is the creation of an Atlantean temple, an Atlantean healing temple. So you'll read about that in the vision. And then the people that live in the City of Light live around the temple, and we utilize the temple for healing ourselves and others that, you know, come to the city. So that's the sort of basis of the layout.
You have really found what you came here to do. Do you think that's true?
Yeah.
Do you feel like this is why you chose to be incarnated at this time?
Yeah, I'm absolutely certain. And
It
feels so congruent. And that's why I work on it 24/7. It's like it is my life now. And it's wonderful.
Well, that goes back to the what you teach, you learn, because you were teaching other people to find their purpose, and voila, you found your own.
Yes, indeed, that's very true.
It's energy out, it's energy back threefold.
Absolutely right, yeah, we've always had that saying, and that's why we encourage lots of people to learn to be teachers. And we've taught many, many people, you know, some of our skills, coaching skills, spiritual skills. Yeah, it's fantastic, really. The greatest way,
well, you know,
to
it feels like, and I know you and I have talked about this, you know, I think that one thing that I've talked a lot about is a lot of us that are incarnated now and awakening and awake are those of us that answered Gaia's call back at the fall of Atlantis when the planet almost fell off of its axis.
Yes.
And she put out her SOS to the universe, because what happens is there's more, if there's too much, it's on a polarized planet, if there's too much darkness, then it destroys. And if there's too much light, it ascends. And so it's about this process of maintaining this balance. And now now we're trying to get to the balance of too much light so we can ascend. But at the time, we were in danger of destruction. So Gaia sent out her SOS, and because she needed beings of light. And many of us beings of light came from other realities and other dimensions and, you know, other planets, other galaxies. Because many, you know, Gaia is much older than we think, and there's many civilizations that have had long times of habitation on Gaia's body. And so she's like their mother. So they all answered the call, and we all entered in and did our best to save the planet, which we did. The planet was saved. It wasn't destroyed. But now we're all back now, because we're here for the ascension.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's a lot of us that are, you know, remembering what happened in Atlantis and remembering the plans that we laid out then and that we are now bringing forward. What do you think about that?
Oh, I'm absolutely sure. I mean, obviously, when I first came into connection with the Atlantean work, it resonated with me so amazingly. It was like a coming home thing, really. So where in my 47 years I was living this very practical life, you could have never told me anything like this past civilization lived and you were a part of it, and you could never have told me that. But of course, it's by expanding your awareness massively that suddenly you feel a part of that whole, that part of the universe that I think that, you know, really moved me forward. And of course, it's really drawn me to, you know, I've done drawings of it. It's almost like it's there. It's already there, already created. I know exactly what to do, exactly how to be. And of course, it's almost like infectious as well. So other people, there was Nikki was doing a mind body spirit talk last night, and I was in the audience. And this guy came to me afterwards and started asking me about the City of Light. And how does he know about it? He said, "Oh, I've read this vision. And is that you?" Now I don't know this guy. I don't know where he came from. And then suddenly it was like we were massively connected. And he was saying how he feels very isolated because he talks about, you know, he comes from a different part of the galaxy and he's come here specially. And, you know, we were able to have a conversation that most people are just not able to have. So I felt he was very much on the team. So I keep meeting people that are on the Ascension team. And I guess it's just, yeah, I agree with you so much that we are here specifically at this time. And it feels like, you know, I sort of awoke 10 years ago to be part of the process that's happening now. And it's fantastic. I just enjoy every second of my life. It's amazing.
Yes, you know, I am really enjoying it too. And one thing that I learned is that when you really learn to love something, you can leave it.
Mm.
And so I spent most of my life really hating the third dimension.
Yeah. And I think it is. In the third dimension, you know, we obviously experience attachment to things. You know, obviously we have experienced this massively in our intimate relationship world where people get massively attached to each other.
Right.
But the gift that Nikki and myself learned was definitely that our love and connection was massive when we were not attached.
Yes.
It was almost like, okay, look, if we connect with our own love massively, individually, there's something that holds us together in a way that's just beautiful compared to our old world where I always remember with my first wife, Nikki's my second wife, my first wife, I was always trying to get her to love me.
Yeah.
And that was it, really. I was so attached. And of course, it brought me the opposite of what love is, I always describe it. It was
right.
Everything that love is not. And so I had to have that experience of what love is not to really wake up in this particular lifetime. So, yeah, now I feel so connected to everything and everyone. It's fantastic, really. And definitely where we've worked in, you know, everything from the personal development world to the spiritually developed world. So we work with very, very wealthy people at one end of the scale and then people who are, you know, sort of poor at the other end. And, you know, last night there was some people there who were really struggling. not only emotionally, financially, you know, they've got the whole thing going on, no job, relationship challenges, the whole triple whammy, your health's not good. And, you know, I just love to be around these people. It's like there's something about them that I'm drawn to them. And it's when you share your message from a loving space, it's like they start to light up. It gives them permission to see the love inside of themselves, because it's actually really, really easy. There's nothing to get. It's more about, you know, you lighting up yourself and then sharing that. So it was really fantastic last night to connect with some of those people.
Yes, the power of love, for sure.
Absolutely,
that's
yeah.
Really what happens when we wake up, is that we start really feeling that unconditional love of the universe.
Yeah, and I love that great saying that says, you know, we're moving from the love of power to the power of love.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
so speaking
absolutely.
Of, I would really like you to guide us all in a meditation. I'm careful this time to make enough time. I
yes,
tend to wait
indeed.
Too long, and then I have to go and cut up something else because I never want to cut up the meditations.
Yes.
So we've got about, 15 minutes here, so.
Beautiful.
You would
okay.
lead us in a meditation, however long that takes, that'd be great.
I definitely can. And I think what I'd love to do is maybe something a bit unique. One thing I love to work with is crystals. Now, maybe that nobody's sitting there right now with a crystal in their hand, but, you know, we have the gift of our fifth dimensional imagination. So I'd love you to...
I have a crystal right here, and I'm putting in my hand. Okay,
fantastic.
I'm ready.
So if anybody's got a crystal, grab it. And if not, just imagine you've got a crystal, a beautiful crystal in your hand. And one of my favorite crystals to work with is clear quartz. So just if it's clear quartz, Susan, that's absolutely great. If it's not, it's also perfect. But one thing I love to do, so if you have to imagine you've got a crystal, just hold it in your hand and move it around and just get to know it. Maybe close your eyes. It's always obviously good to close your eyes. Get to know it. Just feel if there's any nooks and crannies in it, any little glitches that you connect with, and see if you can find one. I'll do it with you, Susan, so you can tell me as you move it around in your hand, just to see if you find a little glitch that, you know, when you touch it with your thumb or your finger, you go, oh, okay, that's an interesting little part of the crystal, something you'd never notice if you were just actually just looking and observing it. So have you found a little piece of it? Is it a smooth one or is it a more natural one? Okay. So as you hold that crystal, if you found that little glitch, just imagine now as we do some breathing. So I like to do heart breathing. Heart breathing is where we're going to breathe in through our mouth and we're going to breathe out through our mouth. But we're going to breathe in very gently. And as we breathe in, we're going to notice the air going down our windpipe. And it's going to just surround our heart beautifully. So let's all breathe in together. And just feel that beautiful, cool air surrounding your heart. And then we can release that air back through our mouth. And as we do it again, let's imagine ourselves breathing in love and surrounding our heart with love. And as we breathe out, we're going to breathe out all of our fears and all of our worries. So let's just do it again. Breathe in some love. Feel it in your chest. Feel it surrounding your heart. And then just relax on the out-breath, seeing all your fears and all your worries being released. And let's do it again. And back out. And if we put all of our focus and all of our attention to our heart and just notice the feeling that it has, that nice cool feeling, that feeling of love that resonates in everyone's heart, let's just put our attention to that for a moment. Let's do another breath in with love. Thank you. hold your crystal in your hand, just notice that little glitch. And what we're going to do is really an exciting thing to do. We're going to go down our arm, we're going to take our mind, our imagination, down our finger, or down our thumb to that glitch on the side or wherever on the crystal. We're going to go inside the crystal. And as we go inside the crystal, we just become aware of how amazing and how different it is inside the crystal. Just notice the energy. Notice the feeling in your body right now. That feeling of love in your heart surrounding you completely. You are love itself inside of the crystal. And just notice the walls of the crystal. And look down and notice the floor. And maybe look up at the point of the crystal. And notice how as you look up, the light's coming shining through the point of the crystal, shining down on you like you're a film star on the stage, and you're basking in the light from the centre of the top of the crystal. And just notice the crystal is a very special space. Magic and miracles always happen inside of a crystal. So today we're going to go somewhere special, on a special journey inside the crystal. And we're going to go to a room that it resides inside the crystal called the manifesting room. So as we bask in the light, maybe we can just bring to our awareness, if there's anything we'd love to manifest, what would it be today? What would you love to manifest right now? Because that's what we're going to do. So here we are inside the crystal. And we're going to walk over to the wall of the crystal. We're going to put our hand against the wall. And as we touch the wall gently, golden walls.
centre of a room. It's like a very modern office chair. You know, one of those ones with the wheels and that you can spin round on. And you're very drawn to go and sit on this chair. And as you sit down, childlike, you just spin round, looking at the golden walls, taking in their brilliance and the energy that they're giving off. And you look up as you lean back in the chair and you see the glistening of the beautiful gemstones. And you look down at the floor at the mirror-like green.
Again, the website is cityoflight.co.uk, and
correct.
Then they can connect with your email through that, or do you want
yes,
to give
yes, indeed,
email?
There's connection. You know, all the usual things, magical things you can do on websites. So we'd love to get any mails from your listeners, readers. I'll answer all the questions, and, you know, who knows? We're bound to connect with some amazing people.
Well, I'm ready to go back to Glastonbury. So.
Oh, can't wait for you to get on the plane.
I'm ready. I'm there. I'll be there. I'll be there in my imagination until my physical body finds its way over there as well.
Indeed, indeed. That's fantastic. Well, thank you very much for having me on the show. It's really beautiful.
Thank you.
And lovely to connect with you.
Yes. Okay, I'll talk to you later then.
Okay, thanks then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Next time.